Merry Christmas. Come on, you can say it on Christmas Eve. You can say Merry Christmas. If you can't say Merry Christmas now, when can you say it? Well, tomorrow, I guess. But Merry Christmas to you and to yours. I am Cy Kellett. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. This is kind of a special broadcast of Catholic Answers Live because EWTN, we're not on the radio today. So this is just for our Facebook, YouTube, and various other listeners. We're delighted to have you with us. And we get to... Because we're not on the radio, we get to swear throughout this program. So there'll be a lot of cursing and swearing throughout the program.
I feel much more at ease now.
You feel better?
I do.
Feel like you don't have to hold it in?
As all that swearing. Yeah, I was worried about that, yeah.
Our guest is John Sorensen. He is the COO. That is Chief Operating Officer of Catholic Answers. Hello, John.
And a former atheist. Did you know that?
A former atheist and mythicist.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a bit about mythicism. But I got to say this, huge accomplishments for you this year, dude. Huge accomplishment. People think that they're accomplishments for Catholic Answers, but you're like the shepherd. You shepherded these things. You got the Bible. Say the name of it.
The Bible Navigator.
Bible Navigator. Why can't I remember the word navigator? The Bible Navigator. You got School of Apologetics, which people have been trying to do for 20 years. It's like John Sorensen is getting stuff done, and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, the social media is way better. Marketing's killing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. There's also like a lot of stuff that that happened in the background over this last year that a lot of people don't, like the whole infrastructure that runs Catholic Answers, all the computer software, everything. We replaced literally everything from our internet connection to the phone on your desk.
And you got it all done.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Chris is the CEO. He's the chief executive officer and that's the person who kind of sets the tone and the priorities and all that. And then you, as the chief operating officer, your job is to actually get it done, which is why, and generally speaking, people like the CEO and they don't like the COO because the COO makes them work.
Yeah. So unfortunately.
Yeah. And people don't, I mean, I, you're
but
not,
I feel a, like I'm you, more fun than that guy.
No, you are not a well-liked person. You are not a well-liked person. It's mostly fear. It's mostly fear that people have.
It's a good thing that I'm 6'2", 240 pounds then, right?
I guess so. I enjoy having an office next to you. It's very pleasant to have an office next to you. I feel like if any attackers were to come in the building, you could get your sword out and defend me.
Yes.
Maybe many people don't know this. You have an actual sword.
Yeah.
An actual sword.
Yeah.
In your office.
It was sent to me by the Sherwood Fellows, the group of young people that helped us redesign Catholic.com this last year. They sent me a sword.
Is there a better gift that you can get than a sword? I mean, a sword's pretty much the top gift you could get.
Yeah. When I got it, I thought, okay, this is just going to be like, it's like one of those swords that doesn't have the real sharp edges. But I pulled it out and I was like, oh, wow, I could actually probably cut down a tree with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a villain.
A villain.
If you had a villain that you had to cut down.
If a villain comes in the building, they better look out. Don't come near our wing.
Say you accidentally went to the back of your wardrobe and went right through it, but you had that sword with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You could
fight. All safe.
Yeah, it would all be all right.
The whole apostolate's safer because of that sword and the Sherwood Fellows.
All the wise people, John. Thank you, Sherwood Fellows, for saving Narnia and Catholic Answers. All the wise people in the world, John, all of them agree, look, Christmas is a pagan festival that the Christians just stole.
Isn't that funny? Because, I even would hear that from sometimes well-meaning priests. And they'll sometimes invoke, you know, enculturation.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, well, this is an early example of enculturation. Those Christians were trying, they chose that day because of, you know, some other pagan feast like Sol Invictus or something fell on that day.
Right.
And they wanted to sort of baptize that holiday to attract more converts. But I don't think that explanation really works. It was a real popular explanation up until maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe the last 50 years or something. There's been a lot more study into it, but paganism was on its way out. You know, I mean, it was on the decline and Christianity was growing. So who copied who? I think the evidence points more toward maybe the pagans were desperate and they moved some of their feasts, because there's a pagan holiday on like every day of the year with some, you know, European culture.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So any day you would have a Christian feast on, it's going to match up with something.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And then it would have been, oh, look, the Christians
are copying.
The feast
of Odin's foot or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made that one up, by the way.
Odin's foot.
Yeah.
That's a rad feast, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I love it. It's party time.
Yeah. We all drink out of shoes and stuff.
Oh, heck yeah.
We just invented that. John and I just invented that. Okay, so Christmas on the 25th, it's really just Mithras was born on that day. But I'll throw that one at you.
Okay, Mithras. Mithras and the Saturn, the god Saturn, so Saturnalia, was another Roman feast that they will say both happened on December 25th, and that's just totally, there's not, so Saturnalia actually was like a week-long festival.
I was going to say, it's not hard to miss Saturnalia.
Yeah, and it wasn't on December 25th. It never was on December 25th, so the only and there's no evidence from the Christians that they moved the feast to coincide with Saturnalia. There's no indication in any of their writings or anything. And so Saturnalia just kind of, the only way you can make that argument is you say, oh, well, look how close it is, because it's close in proximity, but it wasn't on December 25th. So, but you'll have sometimes like these, you know, popular videos on YouTube. They say, well, these gods were born on December 25th, but most of the time that's actually not the case.
I question your qualifications to challenge videos that are popular on YouTube. I mean, who can challenge? I'm actually going to play a sound clip for you.
Okay.
From, should we start with Zeitgeist?
Yeah.
Okay. So Zeitgeist, very, very popular. Millions of people have viewed this.
Millions upon millions.
Millions upon millions. Okay.
Yes.
That's even more than millions.
Yeah.
And so let's hear clip one.
Mithra of Persia, born of a virgin on December 25th. He had 12 disciples and performed miracles, and upon his death was buried for 3 days and thus resurrected. He was also referred to as the Truth, the Light, and many others. Interestingly, the sacred day of worship of Mithra was Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Okay, so that's a lot of... it's amazing to hear that Christians just copied all that stuff from Mithra. Why are you hiding that, John?
Because it's fun. It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Confirmation bias. I don't care about the facts.
How much of that is true, what that gentleman just said?
Zero.
0% of that.
0% of that is true.
How do people get away with just saying all that nutty stuff one after the other?
Because they'll throw a bunch of those things out, and what are you going to do? Who has time to look into all that stuff? Not very many people.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, when I started looking into it, it's first of all, it's really hard to find any information about Mithra.
Because it was a secret mystery cult.
Exactly.
they didn't publish their beliefs.
That's the truth of it. They didn't write anything down. It's people think that like, oh, all these ancient religions were like Christianity or Judaism.
That had a book.
Actually, Christianity and Judaism are unique in the fact that they had, well, more so Christianity, I think, than maybe Judaism. But Christianity is unique in its systematic theology, I think, and the amount of writing that has been done over the years.
Right.
That is unique, even at that time.
Yeah.
But the Mithraists, they didn't write anything down. And by the way, the Mithraism of Rome is not necessarily older than Christianity. They were borrowing. There was like a fad with the Romans to, you know, they would say, oh, look at this, you know, unique religion from a faraway place. Well, it was from Persia. Mithraism was a Persian. Mithra was a Persian god,
right?
And so they adopted it because it's unique and it's from somewhere else. Right. I mean,
it was soldiers actually. It was a big thing among Roman soldiers who had been to Persia.
Yeah. And politicians, soldiers and politicians loved Mithraism. It was like this secret thing. They didn't have hardly anything written down. So all that we know about it is like, you know, from some reliefs that they found in Mithraeum. They call them these places of worship or whatever. And they'll say, oh, well, they had a common meal because there's like a pit in the middle of the worship place that had like chicken bones in it or something.
Right.
But there's no...
All of this is inference.
Yeah. And the only way you get to the Mithra connection to December 25th is through Sol Invictus. And you can only do that because from what we can tell is that there may have been some connection with Sol Invictus because it's thought that some of the Romans... who believed in Mithra, if they even believed in it, it might have just been a social club for all we know. But the ones who did follow it used to sort of equate the Mithra with Sol Invictus. But the Emperor Aurelian is the one who moved the celebration of Sol Invictus to December 25th.
Kind of the celebration of the invincible sun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sun meaning the sun in the sky.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So they had this celebration already, and some Romans thought that Mithra and Sol Invictus were two manifestations of the same deity. It's this real loose connection, but there's no evidence that they believed Mithra was born on December 25th, and the Sol Invictus connection, the first time that Sol Invictus, that celebration, appears in history on December 25th is in a Roman calendar called the Chronology of 354 is how it's referred to. That's how you can
look at it. Wait, 354? You mean BC, right? Because this was, Christianity came from this.
No,
this was,
sir. 354 AD, Anno Domini.
354 years after the birth of Christ.
After.
Then the Mithras people possibly, maybe, celebrated Sol Invictus.
Yep. And the only evidence that we have of it ever being on December 25th is in that calendar. And guess whose birthday is there right along with it?
Oh, on the same calendar?
Yep. Christians in Rome were already celebrating Jesus' birthday on December 25th. That's in the calendar at the same time. So who borrowed from who? That's, remember what I was saying before?
Yeah.
Paganism is on the decline. Christianity is on the rise. Who borrowed from who?
Right.
And we have evidence from Hippolytus of Rome, is one early Christian writer, that day was of significance to Christians before this calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, I think there's a great deal of underestimating how much religious borrowing went on in the Roman Empire. And like, for example, just later with the Emperor Julian the Apostate.
Yeah.
The idea that Julian told pagan temples, you have to start doing charity for the poor, because that's what Christians do at their churches. So people could say, well, the Christians stole this idea of charity. Well, no, it actually went the other way.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The Romans were kind of like scoffed at charity.
Yeah. But then it got so popular among the Christians that the emperor ordered pagan temples to start doing it. All right, but we want to hear another clip, though, because there's people even smarter than this guy who I don't even know, who just said all these crazy things about Mithras.
Yeah, yeah.
Really smart people, scholars.
Yeah.
Like Bill Maher.
Yeah, Bill Maher.
All right.
Amazing.
Was going around the Mediterranean for at least 1,000 years. We've got Krishna, who was in India 1,000 years before Christ. Krishna was a carpenter, born of a virgin, baptized in a river.
Are you saying that was written in history? That was written down in history? Is what you're saying?
Absolutely. There's the Persian god Mithra 600 years before Christ, born December 25th, before miracles, resurrected on the third day, known as the Lamb, the Way, the Truth, the Light, the Savior, Messiah.
Stop! Blasphemer!
All I know is that I don't go by that, hearsay, that. So I go by the word of God. I know that's what I believe.
But I believe it.
Believe
because
it,
it's truth. Okay, it's not that. It's
but
not.
There's a difference between truth and what you believe.
But in the Bible, it tells us that all things are possible with God. Okay?
Study the religions of the Mediterranean region for 1,000 years before. Many of the gods were born on December 25th. It's not a new one.
It's funny you should bring that up because, of course, in Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace, Anakin is born to a virgin. And
really?
People see that and they say, wait a second, where have we heard that before?
Right.
It's not original.
But
when
the Jesus story
happened,
wasn't original.
How so?
Oh, man.
Can
Bill
you believe
Maher.
That guy tried to use Star Wars to defend himself, man?
Well, of course, Bill Maher does these man on the street interviews, and you're going to find people who cannot. You're not going to play the tape of the guy who told you the truth.
Right. Like if Bill Maher ran into Jimmy Akin.
Right.
He's not
going to
play
Maher
that
cannot,
in his movie.
Yes. That's never going to get played. Bill Maher trying to convince Jimmy Akin that 1,000 years, look at this, 1,000 years before Jesus, Krishna was born first of all, Krishna was never born. He's not a historical figure.
Right.
None of these other things.
No.
Jesus is a historical figure.
Yeah.
Second of all, what does Krishna have to do with December 25th? Like December 25th doesn't even exist in an Indian calendar.
Right. Yeah.
Which is making stuff up.
Yeah. And again, he repeats the Mithra thing. You know, the one thing that those two clips have in common is that they both used the same source for their material. So the religious, the filmmakers and I think Zeitgeist maybe too, put out like study guides. And they they cited sources where you can read more of this and, you know, December 25th business or, you know, Jesus and pagan gods. And it all came from D.M. Murdoch, who was a lady who wrote all these books on, you know, this parallelomania stuff. You know, Jesus is right. pulled from all these other things.
Right.
And she was a little nutty herself. I mean, she's since passed away, I think a few years ago.
Grant her rest.
Exactly. I pray for her all the time. But she wrote a lot of books. She was pretty prolific. But she pulls from all this scholarship from a couple hundred years ago, and some even older than that.
Yes, a lot of, because as various texts and archaeological discoveries were made in the 19th century, mm-hmm. this became really popular to go, oh, it's all the same thing. You know, the Noah story is really, it's the same story appears in the Gilgamesh. So it's all, what do you call it? Parallelomania?
Parallelomania.
Yeah, it becomes a mania where you mm-hmm. just start seeing all these parallels everywhere. Yeah. It's all the same.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a big fad for a long time. And so, and that stuff has survived. And in popular culture, I mean, a lot, like real historians don't subscribe
to this. No, a lot of it got debunked in the 20th century. So mm-hmm. these people go to 19th century, and then they do the kind of conspiracy theorist thing. Yeah. It's all been suppressed. See, the scientists of the 19th century knew this, but it's all been suppressed.
Exactly. And I have to tell you a story really quick. Is that okay? So I went to, I know.
Wait, I didn't say yet if it's okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah, all right, it's okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, go ahead. Yeah. I was going to Los Angeles to visit, with a friend of mine, and we were going to go and see a concert. And so I'd been in the car for a really long time, and I got to the concert hall early, and I was there to see Sasquatch. It was like
the band Sasquatch
the band Sasquatch. Oh, yeah. I wish it was the real Sasquatch, but it was just the band Sasquatch. Anyway, it's a band that both me and my buddy like. So we got there, and I went into the building. We were early, and they weren't really letting anybody in, but there was this girl sitting at the front, and she was talking to the guitar player from one of the other bands, and I just happened to overhear the conversation, and he's telling her, "Oh yeah, you got to watch this movie Zeitgeist." I don't know how the conversation started. I just walked in on this part, and he's telling her about all these, you know, supposed parallels and all this other stuff. And I asked really quickly. I said, "Hey, I've been in the car for like 2 hours driving from San Diego. Can I use the restroom?" She says, "Yeah, go ahead." So when I came back out, I said to her, "Hey, you know, I couldn't help but overhear the conversation that you were having, and it just so happens that I wrote an article on this for a magazine, and I'd love to send it to you to read if you're interested." And so I gave her my business card, which why I had a business card.
I love that you're carrying your Catholic Answers business card to the Sasquatch concert.
It's the only time where it must have been grace or something, because I go to like official business functions and forget my business cards. But this one time I happen to have a business card. So I gave it to her, and I end up emailed her the article, and I got a response back. Thank you. It was very helpful. But it just so happened that I had written an article on the pagan, actually based on that clip from Bill Maher from Religulous, debunking all the connection with Horus. Because after the part of the clip that you don't hear when Walk Like an Egyptian starts playing is he goes into all these parallels of Horus. So I took each one of the parallels and I break it down. Why, you know, Horus wasn't born on December 25th. He didn't have 12 disciples. And I explained where this comes from. But it's just an example of, you know, people on the street, even though historians don't subscribe to this and it's been debunked a million times over, there's still a common belief out there, especially with a lot of younger people, that, you know, that Jesus is just a made-up myth.
It's an affliction, really.
Yeah.
And you can, but I think sometimes when people say things authoritatively,
that's how I got into it.
We're very vulnerable to it. Like, did you know that Mithras had 11 apostles or something, or 12 apostles? Well, actually, did you know is not the right question.
Right.
They just made that up.
That's how I got into that stuff in the first place. Actually, a family member of mine, I don't want to say who, but because it doesn't really matter, but a family member of mine who knew a lot. Told me one time in a conversation that, you know, Jesus was just borrowed from other myths. And I believed it because there was a lot going on. My grandmother had passed away and my family was all Catholic and they all like scattered, like stopped going to church or whatever. And so I was in a vulnerable position. I had somebody who I trusted who is very smart.
Yeah.
So even really smart people can buy into this stuff, you know?
Yes, sure, sure.
Uh-huh. And it's somebody that I trusted. told me about this, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, it must be true then. And it wasn't until years later when I actually sat down and thought, gosh, this, you know, this sounds too convenient. Maybe I should look into it. And I'd seen a few things, and I just started reading up on it. I have a whole bunch of books on Mithra, and I took a bunch of courses on Egyptian religion, and just to try and get to the bottom of that. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that these connections are so tenuous, and they're just not either the parallels are as you know, you and Trent talked about this mythicism, the Christ myth theory. On Catholic Answers Focus not that long ago. And what Trent said about it was really good, that, you know, these connections, either they can't be shown to have existed before the advent of Christianity, or it's just bad information.
Yeah, it's just bad information. Like being born of a virgin and being born of a rock.
Yeah.
Those are the same exact thing. Well, they're not actually. If you just because you say that's a virgin birth, it's not. It's that God was born of a rock.
Yeah.
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 So so the claim, that's if we can go back to Christmas because it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
The claim that Christmas is stolen from the pagans or even borrowed, if you want to just be nice about it, mm-hmm. it doesn't actually have a lot of, you don't feel like that has a lot of currency to it.
It has none. It has none. And if you look at the early Christians and the reason why, there's a lot of different theories. Like, we don't know exactly why, you know, some Christians believe Jesus was born on December 25th. You know, and then there's a tradition in the East of, I think, January 6th.
Yeah, there were various traditions.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are different traditions. Just the December 25th won out among them all. And it doesn't really matter what day Jesus was born on. We're not necessarily celebrating the day of his birth. We're celebrating the fact that he was born at all.
Yeah.
Right?
And it does make sense to celebrate it on that day because of the line from Isaiah that a people in darkness have seen a great light. And in the ancient world, December 25th was the darkest day of the year. And it also makes sense because the early church had this idea, which may be true. It may actually be true that Christ was incarnate in Mary's womb and died on the cross on the same day, March 25th.
Yeah.
So, and that would lead to December 25th being the date. It has a certain kind of poetry, I guess, with the rest of the Christian faith. So,
yeah.
So it works on that level.
Yeah.
But it could also be his birthday.
It could.
Yeah, there's
some people, well, and you know, some people argue and say, well, it was just too cold outside. And the
ladies don't have babies when it's cold outside?
No, the shepherds wouldn't have been outside. In scripture, the shepherds wouldn't have been outside tending their sheep because it's too cold outside. It's like, what were they going to do? Take them over to the local
where
Costco?
Do the sheep go on December 25th?
They go inside the giant place where they keep all the sheep.
Oh, no, they would all have been at Starbucks, all those sheep.
Right.
Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, I think it was Jimmy told me, it might have been Steve Ray, said one day he was in the Holy Land at Christmas time. And looked out on the hills, and there's the shepherd with all their sheep. And he goes, well, guess that shoots that theory now.
Yeah.
Like, there they are.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's cold, but it's not like, you know, it's not like the Antarctica or something out there.
No. Right. Know? Right. So will you, despite the derision of the people who made the movie Zeitgeist and the derision of the inimitable Bill Maher, you're still going to celebrate the birth of the Savior on December 25th?
Yes, I'm going to live it up. I'm so happy that Jesus was born.
Me too.
He's made a huge difference in my life, I can tell you, night and day, man.
Yes, right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming and being born among us.
Exactly.
Thank you, John Sorensen.
I had a blast. I always love talking to you, man.
I love talking to you, too. You're a really good COO
thank
as well.
You.
You're getting stuff done, man.
I promise not to be as difficult in 2020.
I don't believe that for a minute. I think you're going to be horrible. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, man.
Thank you, John.
All right.
We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.